Now, Jim is from Friends of King George's Park, and they're to fight the Brentwood Council proposal to build a large leisure centre and a collection of outdoor attractions in the middle of the park. You've heard some of what Chris Hossock, the leader of the council, was saying, and it's your chance to really come back on all those points and explain your side.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Good morning, formally, and good morning to everyone who's listening. I live very close to King George's Park in St John's Avenue. And ourselves and a group of local residents and people from Brentwood Wider have got together to form a very loose group called Friends of King George's Park. And I think the important thing to say is that we are the friends of the park and we want to see the park prosper and grow. Chris didn't use the word NIMBYs, but he implied that all the way through his comments that we were just a gang of people who didn't want anything to change. And so I'd like to make that clear from the start. But we do have major concerns on the development proposals that are put forward that were meant to be going to the council next Wednesday.
Right.
But in fact, that has now been postponed to some date in the future. Not quite sure when that will be. And I guess there's really three major areas where we have really strong concerns. The first is that it's an inappropriate development for a park. Essentially, they're going to stick a 30-foot-high industrial shed in the middle of the park, a bit of timber to greenwash it, but it's essentially, it's a massive, big, industrial, wacky warehouse shed that's going to be blocked.
And what, for people who don't know, what's there, what sort of size of the building is there at the moment?
At the moment, there's a collection of small, low buildings, which are the park cafe, the golf clubhouse, and changing rooms for the various sports activities. The proposals are to build a building that's 68% bigger than that, in floor area. It will be, as I say, it'll be a shed with the children's play area inside. So the scale is just totally inappropriate for the park. Also, alongside that, up by the paddling pool, they're going to plonk two industrial shipping containers, just bang them in the middle of the park. So you look in one direction, you've got nice planting. Look in the other direction, you've got nice trees. Look in the third direction, and there's two damn great shipping containers. So it's inappropriate in both scale and in outlook. The park is part of the Green Belt, and what their proposing is totally against their own Green Belt policies. Now, I've got the design and access statement in front of me, and they acknowledge that in the design and access statement. But there is a way round that. If you or I were going to put forward a development in the Green Belt, for whatever reason, we would make a case for very special circumstances. So, yes, we accept this as against planning policy, but for these reasons, it's going to get. Now, that would normally be a case for you and I to make to the planning authority, which in this case is Brentwood Council, or a planning appeal to make to the planning inspector. But we have the nonsense here of Brentwood Council telling Brentwood Council that the circumstances are very special. So they're driving a coach and horses through their own green belt and planning policies. It's a shame we didn't get a chance to speak to Chris beforehand. The last time I saw him was at a conference at the cathedral, where he was making great play of the council's green commitments and environmental commitments. Yet here we are having the same man in the same council going to drive a coach and horses through their own commitment to maintaining the environment. They're going to put an industrial shed in the middle of a park. It just is a nonsense. So that's the first major principle, is that development is inappropriate for where it is. What we would like to see is basically a replacement of these existing facilities to more modern standards. And let me give you a couple of examples of that. The golf club at the moment is totally inaccessible to people with disabilities. Everything is up one level. So my son-in-law's father is a keen golfer. He's in a wheelchair. He can't play there because he can't get to the toilet, he can't get changed, he can't go for a drink afterwards. So there's an obvious improvement that could be made there. The changing rooms at the moment are dreadfully unhygienic. They're damp, they've got the equivalent of stalactites hanging by the wall. Let's replace those with modern ones of a good standard, so the people who play rugby and football down there have something they can be proud of. Also, the current changing rooms are, they don't separate young players and older players out. So they don't meet child protection standards. So let's put a provision for that in. Let's put a good modern cafe in.
Yeah.
So let's replace what we've got with better, but on the same scale.
Right.
And let's not look at turning the park into a leisure centre. If you look at the business case that they've got here, they're anticipating a turnover of 1.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they're turning an open park into a multi-million pound turnover leisure business.
Right.
Now, a park, if you go back to... Because parks are so common, people think they've always been there.
Yeah.
But in fact, it goes back to the Victorian times, the Victorian park movement, when people said, wouldn't it be great if in the middle of urban areas we had some green space that people could enjoy free of charge, where everyone's the same, rich and poor, young and old, are all the same.
Yeah.
We go in, we can enjoy the grass, we can picnic. Nowadays you can throw a frisbee. Mm. You can just enjoy being out in the open air. Instead, we're now saying, that's not good enough. We have to move with the times. We now have to put a £1.3 million leisure business in a downgrade shed with a couple of shipping containers because that's modern times. I mean, it just doesn't work.
So you're not against it's actually redeveloping to make things modern, but it's the actual size of what they're putting in there.
The scale and the nature of the business is totally inappropriate. I've spoken mostly about the scale of the buildings in the middle. What they're also planning to do is to fence two further areas off, so the splash pad and the high ropes, the sky thing.
Yeah.
Now, I said before that the park is free access. It's where you and I can just simply go around, get away from the urban area, into the park, into the fresh air, and enjoy that free of charge. They're now saying, no, that's not modern. You've now got to pay £5 an hour for the kids to go in the splash pool. You've got to pay £8 or £12 to go on the high ropes, and those will require the areas which are currently open to the public to be fenced and a pay barrier put around.
So they're definitely going to be charging. That's not going to be something that it's going to have to be paid, as in.
Yep. If you look back to the council, this is a council report from back in I think June or July this year. The splash pad is £5 an hour. For all ages. The soft play will be £4.50. The what they call the tag activity is £14 for adults and £8 for children, and the sky trail is £9 an hour.
Right.
You know, so if I go down there with my three grandchildren and we all go in together, there's £50 gone.
Yeah.
Now that's a million miles away from the concept of a park being a free and open area that everyone can enjoy free of charge. So instead of going out into nature, we're now going to be behind a fence.
Yeah.
So the open to all aspect of the thing is long since gone.
We will have to get some clarification, because I know obviously it'd be good if he was just here to come back. But I know that document's from last June. So if anyone from Chris's, from the Brentwood Council is listening, if anything has changed with regards to any pricing, do let us know why we're live at the moment, or I can update people later.
Okay, well, I can... They don't have an operator at the moment, which is one of the problems we've got is the financial risk.
Yeah.
This is going to be a £7 million investment. Now, that's financed over 30 years. But leisure things come and go in 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
So God alone knows what's going to happen down the road.
Yeah.
So this could be built and open in 12 months' time. Last for 3 or 4 years while the leisure fashion comes, and then just goes out of fashion.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it becomes a white elephant.
Mm.
And that then falls back on the ratepayers. So Chris and his colleagues are asking us as local taxpayers to take on the financial risk for a £7 million investment and a £1.3 million turnover. Now, they've done some sensitivity analysis in their own report, and they show if the income goes down by 10%, things change, or the wages go up by 10%, the thing doesn't become profitable.
Right.
So all of a sudden that risk falls back on the local ratepayers.
Yeah.
They haven't got an operator, but this business plan says we're looking for a wholly owned company. So the council will set up a company to run it.
Yeah.
But as it says, it sets out some charges in the report, but it says these are indicative and they would be set by the wholly owned company and not the council. So you and I as part of that company, we put the bid together. Mm. We say, hang on, we've got to get our money back in 5 years.
Yeah.
So rather than charge £5 an hour, we'll make it £8 because we want to get our money back quickly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, the free park concept gets further and further from actuality. So there's that risk that we'll fall on the ratepayers. You've got any kids?
No.
Okay, well, I've got kids and grandkids. And you know very well when you go down to the park. At the moment, there's a crazy golf down there. Now, it breaks my heart as a granddad to say, not today. Mm. We are not spending £8 an hour to go in the crazy golf. It's bad enough having to pay £2.50 for ice cream. But we're going on the free swings, or we walk in the woods, which are free.
Mm.
But now Chris and his colleagues now want to spend enormous amounts of money turning King George's into a leisure centre.
Now, you did have a petition. Now, the person that sent me the email, Hawkswise, thank you very much for doing that. He said, when we were talking to Chris, he said, why hadn't anybody signed this petition over the last 2 years? He said the council have hidden this from the public. They've hidden notices up about proposed plans to the public, can't see them, and they were supposed to contact the charity that governs King George's Park for their permission. They didn't. Now, I don't know if that is true, because Chris is not here to answer that, but that's come through. So is that something you would agree with or not?
Yeah, if you read the reports and the design and access statement, they talk about the consultation that they carried out with the public.
Yeah.
Now, when you put a planning application in of this size, you have to do a certain amount of public consultation. There was one day's exhibition in the park back in March, I think, but I don't know when that was. And there was one day's consultation at what I still call Chapel High, which is another, I think, the Brentwood Centre, and a further exhibition at, I think, the Strawberry Fair. So these were saying, this is what we're going to do.
Mm.
And do you have any comments on it? It was probably legal. It was probably within the guidelines, but it certainly wasn't an open, transparent, an inclusive level of consultation that we would like to see. So we only got wind of the exhibition in the park through social media, through Facebook. We dashed down there, and I think we got there with about 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
There was representatives of the council, of the finance company Alliance Leisure, and I think there was a planning consultant, but I can't remember. And it was very much, this is what we're going to do, a fait accompli. And we pointed out a couple of things, and fair play to them, they've tweaked the scheme a little bit. But it certainly wasn't what I would call a large, transparent and inclusive consultation exercise.
Right.
So we took it on ourselves to do that on their behalf. And so my colleague Sally Ann Maidment has been down in the park with a petition, which has now got over 300 paper signatures. And the online petition is now getting on towards, it was 1,800 this morning.
Yeah.
So we've got over 2,000 people objecting to the scheme.
Yeah.
Now, they will all have their own reasons for objecting, but basically it's saying keep our park as a park and not a leisure centre.
Right. Okay.
Now, the third element of our objection goes back to, I mentioned before, the parks movement. It's called King George's Park because when King George V died in 1936, there was a scheme on how to be made memorial to our beloved king.
Mm.
And they came up with a scheme of building parks and playing fields all over the country, which bore his name. And responsibility for doing that, for keeping the park in public ownership, and parks in public ownership, fell on an organisation called the National Playing Fields Association, who are now called Fields in Trust. And there was what was called a deed of dedication signed between the then council, I think it would have been Brentwood Rural District Council back in 1952, and Fields in Trust, which basically covenanted the land to be in public ownership. The council still holds the freehold, and they still have maintenance responsibilities.
Yeah.
But the guardians of public access to that land are Fields in Trust. And the guiding document is the deed of dedication. Now, that deed says it must remain as open play, open recreation, and not indoor. Mm. So the proposals for the indoor leisure centre fly in the face of that deed of dedication of 1952.
Right.
I've spoken to Fields and Trust, to the local agent. He says, no, the council haven't consulted us formally. We've had some initial comment, prompted in main by ourselves, because we got onto them.
Yeah.
I said, the council have asked us to give us the deed of dedication, because they can't find their copy.
Mm.
And so once this scheme goes through or is taken forward, the council then has to consult Fields and Trust formally. And they've indicated at the moment that they are minded to use their veto on the scheme.
Mm.
Now, why the council didn't talk to them way back in the early days is a question of for Chris and his colleagues. They may not know about the deed. They may have thought there's a way around it. But certainly, our conversations that the development proposals for the indoor fly in the face of the deed of dedication that was signed by them in 1952.
Yeah.
And so there's a clash of principle against plans.
Now, Chris did say on the show that he gave out his number, which you probably got if you didn't.
It's a public number.
He said that he'd be more than happy to talk to you, and his door is open. Yeah. So do you think there's anything that you maybe can get into, you know, sit down together to go through things, or there's any chance of adjusting things, or, you know...
07930398368. If he gives me a call, I'll come along and I'll bring the biscuits.
Yeah. So hopefully you hopefully be able to sit down, do you think, or not?
I would be more than happy to sit down. As long as it's not Friends of King George's Park having their tummy tickled and their head patted and told to go away and stop being nimbies. If it's the council going to listen to us and say, yeah, we think what you're saying has merit, and we're prepared to amend our plans.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be more than happy to. Yeah.
Is there a halfway point in any of this between yourselves and the council for, you know, if they built something maybe a little bit bigger, but they missed off, they didn't have the paddling pools or they didn't have the rope section? Is there any sort of halfway, or not that you want to discuss on air?
Yeah. Chris is a politician.
Yeah.
And the cliche is that the politics is the art of the possible. We are not NIMBYs, as I said right at the start, but we want to see the park prosper and grow.
Yeah.
But we'd be more than happy to be involved in that in some way forward. Yeah.
It's great to have you in the studio. I hope you got all of the points that you wanted to make across, and Chris got his points across too.
Sure.
If people want to find out more, you do have, as you said, you've got your Facebook page, so give a shout out for the page.
It's called, just simply put in, Friends of King George's Park, and it pops up.
Yeah. Yep. And all the information's there. There's also, there'll also be the petition, to sign the petition.
There's a link to the petition, and there's also a link to the various council reports.
Yeah.
And the source document for everybody is the council planning website.
Right.
Which has got all the documents I've got in front of me now are available for the public to see and scrutinise.
Lovely. Thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure, Michelle, and thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to Chris as well. And that will be carrying on forward. So that's King George's Park. Do check out the website. Also, as Jim said, make sure you look at the council one as well. And then you can form your own opinion. If it was something you didn't know about, you do now. So do get involved. Just coming up to 11:33, let's do some...